New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names. Bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Melissa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, I want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are inside the Quicken Loans studios here in Houston. And in our next segment, we're going to shift gears. We're going to carve out some time for a book review. Tonight, we have secured a very special guest, former ESPN president and cable television industry pioneer, George Bodenheimer, who has just released his new book. It is titled Every Town is a Sports Town, Business Leadership at ESPN, From the Mailroom to the Boardroom with George Bodenheimer. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us.
Alyssa, thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, we probably should start off our conversation with a big Texas hello and welcome you back to the Lone Star State, because what you spent many years here in Texas selling ESPN and taking it to the next level and getting it on the map.
Oh, boy. Thank you. Some of my fondest memories down in Texas, working there, working the five-state region down there. I met my wife. I mean, it was just some of the best years of my life down there.
Well, congratulations on the new book. It's part memoir. It's part business leadership story. And I thought you did a great job just sharing about the growth of ESPN and how you guys were able to turn it into a global network. Tell us about the motivation and the inspiration behind this book. Why did you write it?
Well, I really wanted to write this book to tell the story of the people and the culture of ESPN and how it got its start. I mean, it was really hand-to-mouth operation, scrapping away for a number of years before we achieved any serious measure of success. And I really credit the early employees and the culture that was developed, kind of never say die, risk-taking, we think we have something here, kind of an attitude, an underdog mentality, and all of that, resulted in a company where, the employees are passionate, they're loyal, and they never want to stop innovating to improve our product.
Former ESPN President George Bodenheimer is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As always, we are interactive. We'd love to hear from you, connect with you on Twitter at E Radio Sports. You can always email the show at Alyssa@yahoosportsradio.com. Of course, George is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. I have to share that it was such an inspirational read. I mean, you detail, as you were just talking about, you highlight ESPN's rise from, a couple of trailers in a parking lot to television's most valuable network. But for me personally, I enjoyed learning about your journey in sports. And I'd love for you to share that with our national audience, because you became, at 46 years of age, you became the president of ESPN in 1998.
Well, I was very fortunate, for a couple of reasons. One, I was unsure whether to take the job in the mailroom in the beginning. And my father gave me the best advice I ever received.
Yeah.
He encouraged me to make a career decision over a money decision. The money was a fraction of what I presumably could have gotten with entry-level positions in many other industries, just coming out of college in the 80s. In 1980, but he said to me, if sports television is a career that you can be passionate about, then you should take that job, get a foot in the door, and see where it takes you. And so I took that advice, and 33 years, the next 33 years of my life, I spent with ESPN. So I was very fortunate, and the company literally never stopped growing. So my story. There's many other stories at ESPN that are similar, people that started entry-level positions and rose to make significant contributions to the company.
Well, it's an incredible testament to perseverance and hard work. And as you're saying, you know what, hired in 81, you made $8,300 a year in the mailroom, pitching in and kind of helping out where needed. You were driving around one of my absolute favorites, a regular guest on our program. That, of course, is the great Dick Vitale. He's one in a million, isn't he?
Dick is a wonderful, wonderful person, and as I write in the the opening of the book, I mean, he and I established a friendship literally in my first week or two of work when I'm his driver, that has lasted over 3+ decades, and I'm working closely with him on the V Foundation for Cancer Research, which ESPN founded in 1993. And he and his wife Lorraine have an event every year down in Florida. In fact, it's next weekend. And he's raised over $10 million in 8 years. And so I get to continue to work closely with Dick. But he made a big impression on me earlier. I mean, Dick was already a star, and I was assigned to drive him to and from the airport. he befriended me, treated me with respect, and we established a bond.
And I have to wonder, what was that conversation like when it was announced that you were named president at ESPN in 98, when you called Dick Vitale to tell him, hey, I got the big break?
Well, it's a funny story.
And tell me.
He tells the story all the time that he read it in the U.S. He was sitting in an airport somewhere after having done a game. He opens the paper, sees, George Bodenheimer named president, and he calls me and leaves me a message, reminding me about the old days. And said he doesn't want a gold watch, he wants a new contract. And we laugh about that all the time, but he is one of a kind, and he has done so much for not only people in need in this country, but he's one of the people that helped build ESPN, and I can't say enough about him.
Well, you're spot on. I think back 10 years ago, he released a book, Living a Dream, the reflections on 25 years sitting in the best seat in the house. And Dick had been on my show many times, and I kind of surprised him. I drove up to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I didn't let him know that I was going to be at his book signing. I waited in line patiently, and as soon as I got up there, introduced myself, he stopped the entire book signing and said, hey, this is Elissa Walker Campbell, the Big E Sports Show. You got to tune in. 1520 AM KOKC. I mean, just an incredible gesture. It certainly left quite an impression, and he really is a special man.
Well, that's Dick, right? He's a people person, and that's really what I'm trying to get at in this book, at how special and caring the people are of ESPN. They give back a lot, not just the V Foundation, but the Special Olympics, veterans issues, and so forth and so on. It's been a perfect home for Dick because he fits right in.
He does. And, of course, you even talk about that in the book as far as the mission statement with ESPN, that people are the most valuable resource.
Alyssa, a lot of people ask me, what's your leadership style? And my answer is I believe in people. I like people. And, of course, what I really mean by that is to empower people if you're in a workforce or you're on a team. In fact, one of my chapters that I write about in the book is it's all about people. And, you have to, in my mind, you have to surround yourself with the smartest people that you can. Of course, having grown up at ESPN, by the time I became president, I already had the luxury of knowing I had a tremendous number of smart people around me. So to me, I looked at my job to lead ESPN as emphasizing teamwork, building a culture that really rewards the results of the team over individual accomplishment, promote those who embody that culture, and next thing you know, you got a company that never stops innovating. And that's really, kind of how I view the culture and the style of ESPN's management.
Former ESPN president and cable industry pioneer George Bodenheimer is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We are up against the clock. We got to step aside, and we'll be rejoined with George Bodenheimer and continue this exclusive conversation.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Elissa Walker Campbell, the Big E.
Former ESPN President George Bodenheimer is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are shining the spotlight on his brand new book. You've got to go out and get a copy of it. Every Town is a Sports Town, Business Leadership at ESPN, from the mailroom to the boardroom with George Bodenheimer. So right now, George, let's zero in on the rapid growth of the network, the key to transforming ESPN into a media juggernaut. What would you say is the key?
Well, I would think it's really, I believe it's really simple, Alyssa. It's following your mission. In our case, our mission is to serve sports fans. So, for example, when we had more programming than we could put on ESPN, one network, we decided we needed to launch a second network, ESPN2, which at the time was also controversial. It was like, why do we need a second network?
Right.
When the mobile phones started to become available in the United States in the early mid 2000s, we realized that sports fans are going to want to access scores, you know, from wherever they are. When the internet started to grow and laptop computing grew, we knew people would want to be accessing sports on their computer and doing different things. So, to answer your question, what is inculcated in the ESPN company is that we must move in those directions because that is the mission to serve sports fans. And our employees, in effect, expect and demand that the management will move us in those new directions, even if the technology isn't quite figured out, like 3D or the early phones, or the business model isn't figured out, like high def. No one knew how that was going to work. They expect, and the ESPN culture demands, that we move in those directions so that we can fulfill our mission. And I really credit that with, you know, getting a head start for ESPN on the competition in virtually all of those, you know, let's call them new businesses. They're not new anymore, but they were at the time. So I think that's what's important for business leaders is to have a mission, make sure your employees know what the mission of your company is, and then you got to walk the walk. You got to follow it up.
That's exactly right. Hey, George Bodenheimer with us just a few more minutes right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And, you know, talking about sports consumption, how it's on the rise, what can we anticipate? What's going to be the next big thing that will impact on how we watch sports? Obviously, the mobile device has been huge. Watching sports, it continues to evolve.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll give you my favorite answer that I used when I was...
Bring it on. Come on, George.
13 years. It was, I don't know.
Okay. So,
but you know what I do know is...
Come on, you're a visionary.
ESPN know that it's their job to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
And I never fashioned myself as a technology guru who knew precisely which way it was going to turn. I don't know if anybody can figure that out, but I like the fact that I got that, you know, at least when I was in the job, I had 7,000 people who knew that we were committed to move in that direction. But I mean, besides that, to your point, everything is becoming more mobile. You look at the number, look at the sports you can access from any device, including your great show. I mean, it's never been a better time to be a sports fan in terms of access to product. And I that is not going to be turning around.
Well, we have you on the show. I did want to take time to just kind of reflect back. I mean, you chronicle throughout the book the adventures, the misadventures in programming. And I've kind of learned, you know, muscling my way through this business, that setups or setbacks can kind of be setups for future success. Share some of those early obstacles. And George, how were you able to overcome those?
Well, we did not spend a lot of time worrying about mistakes. I mean, if you aren't making mistakes in business, you're really not trying hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, our mobile phone is probably the most prominent example of that. When we launched that in 2005, our instincts were right, that fans want to access scores from their phone. We were ahead of the time, and we had the wrong business model where we were getting into the hardware business as well as the content business, and that was a wrong model. I have an anecdote in the book about my first meeting with Steve Jobs, where he, in no uncertain terms, gave me his opinion about the ESPN phone. And guess what? He was right. But the point is, we flipped the business model. We hired all these great people to launch it, and ESPN has been number one in the mobile sports business, ever since, and now has an excellent position in the business. But it certainly didn't start out well, and we had to move to ensure that.
The title of George Bodenheimer's book is Every Town is a Sports Town, Business Leadership at ESPN, From the Mailroom to the Boardroom. And, of course, it's important to point out all royalties from this book will be donated to the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Jim Valvano, would you mind just sharing what he meant to you personally and professionally?
Well, Jimmy was a beloved colleague. We hired him in 1990. Of course, he'd won the championship in 1983 at NC State. He was an ESPNer right from the get-go. Everybody loved him. He had a tremendous spirit. Of course, he unfortunately contracted cancer, and in 1993, we launched the ESPYs, and within the ESPYs is the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage. and we awarded the first Arthur Ashe Award to Jim. Well, the ESPYs come along in March, and he literally is too ill. In fact, Dick Vitale called down there the day before when Dick was in New York preparing for the show, and he got Pam Valvano, Jim's wife, on the phone, and Pam said, Jim is too ill to come to the phone, Dick, and he doesn't want to come to New York. And Dick got Jim to the phone and pleaded with him to come to New York. Then Coach Mike Krzyzewski and his wife Mickey jumped into action and flew up commercially with the Valvanos the next day. Jim's getting ill the whole way on the flight. He gets even more sick when he gets to New York. Mm. And by that night, it was unclear whether he was even going to make the show. So he makes the show. The award comes along. Not only does he get up there and deliver a speech that's so much more than, you know, thank you for the award, he delivers one of the greatest speeches you'll ever see. And, you know, if you watch a lot of ESPN, you've seen the speech. But, boy, if any viewers out there haven't, you know, YouTube, Jim Valvano's 1993 ESPY speech, it's one of the most inspirational things you'll ever see. My wife and I were there that night, and that was the night we launched the V Foundation, and we've raised $150 million since that night, and we're continuing to go strong with that to achieve Jim's goal of defeating cancer, and that's what we're trying to do.
It was inspirational and an unforgettable speech. My final question for you is, of course, it's Mother's Day this weekend, and one of my takeaways from the book, I'm so glad that you brought this up, you talked about how your father was a retail store manager, your mom was a banker. But just kind of that golden rule that they, you know, in your home was that always treat others the way you want to be treated. You want to honor your mom this weekend? What were some great life lessons that your mom taught you?
Well, my mom and dad, who I'm fortunate to still have with me and will be with them on Mother's Day, they're beautiful people, and they taught me what you just said. Treat everybody with respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn to laugh at yourself. Be humble.
Yes.
Work hard. I mean, everything whatever I have achieved, I owe to my mom and dad. And I'm very grateful and lucky.
And congratulations on that Lifetime Achievement Award. You received it with the Sports Emmys Awards with this past week. Is that correct?
Yes, thank you. I was very pleased with that. And I will say here what I said to the at the event the other night. I accept that, on behalf of all of the ESPN employees and everybody who helped make ESPN what it is, because I truly feel like I share that with them.
Well, George, it's a true honor to have you on our show at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And, of course, the title of the book is Every Town is a Sports Town, Business Leadership at ESPN from the Mailroom to the Boardroom with the great George Bodenheimer. Congratulations, continued success, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Alyssa.
You bet. Much more right ahead, straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.
Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time now in our next segment for some NBA news and notes. We're going to dive in. We're going to talk about the playoffs. The Cavs and the Bulls, Game 3 is underway right now in Chicago. We got the Rockets and the Clippers. They're set for their tip at 10:30 Eastern Time tonight. And we are certainly anxious to break down those series. But first, we're going to start off. We're going to head out to the Western Conference and zero in on the Golden State Warriors and the Memphis Grizz. Providing the helping hand tonight from ESPN, of course, is Freddie Coleman, one of the hardest working guys in radio, our go-to guy. Hi, Freddie.
Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Always energized when you're on the show. Our audience loves to hear from you.
Thank you.
And so, of course, what Saturday night? The Warriors are on the road in Memphis, 8 o'clock tip on ABC. How about the Grizz? I mean, they really did dominate the Warriors in Game 2, I should say, and it's a compelling series. Do you think this could go 6 or 7 games?
Oh, completely, because I don't think Memphis gets enough credit for how talented of a basketball team that they are, and I think we're among the two of the few people that have actually given the Grizzlies love, because I think people look at them and there's not that one superstar that they can say, okay, I know who that person is. But when you have a Marc Gasol in your team, a Zach Randolph, a Mike Conley Jr., we saw the effect that he has had on this series. He wasn't there in Game 1 because of the facial fractures he suffered in the series versus the Portland Trail Blazers. They were clearly not the same team. In Game 2, he thoroughly dominated with a little help from Tony Allen, the backcourt of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So I'm not surprised by what what I've seen from Memphis. And I think the one thing they've done this year, they've been able to play any kind of style. You want a game in the 80s and 90s, they can win that. You want an up-tempo game, they're not afraid to get involved in that. Even though they'll slow the possessions down, they feel they can make those kind of shots. So I'm not surprised, and I predicted that this series would go to six games. I still think Golden State is going to win it, but nobody should be surprised if Memphis is able to pull this off.
Okay, I'm glad you bring up Mike Conley. Do you think he's underrated, and how does he impact the game?
Well, he's become so underrated, he's overrated. I think that's the case with Mike Conley Jr. now, because for the longest time, when we talk about elite point guards in the NBA, his name never seems to get mentioned, but he always plays at an elite level when the NBA playoffs step up. He's able to make those shots. He's an underrated defender. He really keeps those beat-beats, those road runners in front of him, and not allow those guys to get behind him and into the teeth of their defense. And I think the reason he continues to be underrated, he's not out there trying to show people who he is or thumping his chest saying, look at me. It's like, okay, what does my team need? They need me to be more of a distributor tonight, I'll do that. They need me to be more of a scorer tonight, I can do that. More of a defender tonight, I can do that. He's all about what's best for our basketball team, not what's best for me. And he's just like practically everybody else on that team and everybody else in that organization. So he still is underrated in terms of being an elite point guard. I don't know if he's ever going to get that credit. But in the NBA playoffs, the last 3 to 4 years, we've seen that guy play at an elite level for Memphis.
Well, what's your perception of him in terms of his toughness, his grit? I mean, returns to the lineup after missing, what, the last 3 games following a facial surgery?
Well, I know people look at the face and see the choir boy and think there's no toughness behind it, but you have to be plenty tough to not only play where he played at in the state of Indiana before going to Ohio State and playing in the Western Conference. So I think if anybody doubts the toughness of Mike Conley Jr., they really have not been paying close attention, because he's been that good for this basketball team. Now, if he averaged 20 points and 10 assists, his name would be more recognized among people outside of the NBA, but that would not be the best thing for the Memphis Grizzlies, and he clearly understands that. But it shows the kind of value that he has, that they ripped up his rookie contract and signed him to a big-time extension, and he's probably going to get more money in another extension, because as great as Marcus Gasol is and Zach Randolph, he's the guy that makes them go. And we saw that. No Mike Conley Jr. Game 1, they get blasted by Golden State. Mike Conley's there in Game 2. They turned the tables on the Golden State Warriors.
Well, Conley certainly did. He had 22 points. And I have to tell you, what I like about the Grizz, I'm an old school girl. I like to bang on the inside, on the block, and on the post. I like the big boys. I mean, you've mentioned several times Gasol and Randolph. It's refreshing to see that style. I mean, so many times we talk about the NBA, the pace, and, you know, advancing it up the floor quickly. But I like to see the guys bang on the inside.
And also, you have those two guys that are skilled big men, because they play so well with each other.
Oh, great footwork.
Yeah, and Marc Gasol can step out and hit that 15-footer. Zach Randolph, he can't jump over a credit card, but he seems to able to get some scores inside and make you work on the defensive end. So, yeah, they have an old-school style, no question about that, Alyssa, but they have a new-school feel with their big men. Jeff Green is another guy that's a skilled big guy that I think has been terrific for them. He's not worried about scoring. I think he had too much pressure put on him in Boston to do that, and at times in Oklahoma City. He gets to Memphis, they're like, Jeff, just play. Whatever you bring us is going to help this basketball team. It seems like he's been a lot freer and more unleashed, and he's really been an underrated component to what they've been able to do in Memphis so far.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Freddie Coleman. We never want to turn him off. ESPN Radio, and of course the host of the Freddie Coleman Show tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Now, a guy we definitely got to shine the spotlight on as well is Tony Allen. I mean, you talk about a guy that sets the defensive tone. He really is amazing.
Yeah, one thing about Tony Allen, I think a lot of people look at him and just say he's a defender, and there's no question that's the main reason why he's been able to stay in the NBA. But when they had that situation earlier this year where he and the coach got into it and he got suspended or benched for a couple of games, I can't remember which was which, but he came back from that and said, you know what, I have to be a better person for this team because I don't want to be the guy wrecking things or be told to go away from here. A lot of people would have let their ego and their pride get in the way and not push that aside. He completely pushed that aside because he clearly knows what kind of special fabric that's been a part of the Memphis Grizzlies, and why would you want to go away from that? And he's the perfect kind of guy for their basketball team. Not interested in stats, not interested in numbers, but it was really cool when they had him mic'd up. He's saying, first team all defense, first team all defense. It was really cool to see that, to say, you know what? And he backed up his words, because Alyssa, early in the day, he said, you know, Steph Curry's terrific, but he's not anything special. It's not anything I haven't seen before. That was his way of saying, you know, I played against great shooters in the NBA, and he's one of them. But it's not something that I can't slow down and I can't defend, whether it's him or Klay Thompson. Then he went out there and backed up his words, and the whole team was able to follow his lead. So having that grindhouse effect, that Grizzlies effect, if anybody's the epitome of that, that guy's definitely Tony Allen in Memphis.
Well, and isn't it refreshing, too? I mean, so many times we hear about the offense, but just that bring it on mentality. Let's tighten the screws and let's play some D.
Yeah, and Golden State's the same way. Golden State, I don't think they get enough credit for how good defensively that they are, but they're running into a Memphis team that, you know what, this is where we're going to win. We have to make sure that we can score and be efficient offensively, but even if you score against us, we have to make it as hard for you as possible. Memphis allowed too many easy shots in Game 1. I don't know if they were overwhelmed or the fact that they had so much concern about Mike Conley Jr. not beating there, or maybe it was just Golden State's day, whatever that was. Well, they completely turned that around and made that adjustment. But Golden State is really good at making adjustments, too. And we'll see exactly what Steve Kerr is going to do. He has an underrated staff with Alvin Gentry, one of his assistants, a former NBA head coach, that's really good at that. So the things that work for Memphis in Game 2, Golden State will do everything they can to take that away in Game 3.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Of course, we're going one-on-one with Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio, host of the Freddie Coleman Show. So let's move ahead. Let's talk about Steph Curry being named the MVP. What impresses you the most about this young man?
His humility, because it could be very easy knowing that you're now a superstar. He's not a burgeoning star. He's not an up-and-coming star. He is definitely a superstar. He is one of the faces in the NBA right now. Yeah, he's on that line a little bit below LeBron James, Kevin Durant, but he's near that category, and nobody saw that coming. But that humility where he says, you know what, this MVP would not have happened without my parents and without my family and without my teammates. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people gravitate towards that. And I'm not against guys that are arrogant. I'm not against superstars that have that belief they're the biggest, baddest boy out there in that jungle. That has never bothered me. But if you're going to have that, then you have to have Kevin Durant last year thanking his mom, calling her his MVP.
Yes.
And Steph Curry this year, how he reached out to so many people to say, thank you for getting me to this level. Those kind of things really resonate well with fans. And I don't think that humility is going to go away. Now, behind that humility is a cold-blooded assassin, Steph Curry. Don't let the pretty
boy. Don't underestimate him, yeah.
Yeah, don't underestimate him, because he wants to rip your heart out and throw it away and have you go away from him and take it away from you. So I think those are the kind of dichotomy that I love with a player like that. That humility, thanking everybody for getting him and allowing him to be in this position. But then on the other side, if I'm going to bust 55 on you, mm-hmm. I'm going to bust 55 on you and let you know about it.
Oh, and Steph Curry, I mean, I had a chance to obviously watch his opening statement, listen to his acceptance speech, and the first thing that he said was, I love basketball. And it is just, you know, Freddie, it's hard to believe. I mean, he wasn't even highly recruited out of high school. He just flew under the radar.
Yeah, and one thing about that, he was such a great shooter. I mean, it's in his DNA between his dad,
Dell, and
his younger brother, Seth. So you know that being a great shooter, that was going to be his deal. But I think the best thing, to your point, no one saw this coming with Steph Curry being an MVP, because we thought he was going to be good, but no one saw this coming from him. No one thought he'd be this kind of great shooter at the point guard level. But the best thing that could have happened to him was his college head coach at Davidson, Bob McKillop, moved him to the point guard position. He said, I'm going to sacrifice wins, but your NBA career is going to be better, because as a 6'2 shooting guard, you're not going to last. As a 6'2 point guard with your shooting ability, you'll be able to play a long time in the NBA. And Bob McKillop, who was one of the underrated coaches in the country, turned out to be exactly right. He learned how to run a basketball team, get the ball to people in the right spots, understanding the pace of the game and changing speeds, when to speed up, when to slow down. You don't learn that if you play the two-guard position in college, and then you have to do that in the NBA. Not too many guys can make that adjustment. Like Russell Westbrook, people didn't think he was going to be a great NBA point guard. They moved him to the one, but he had to learn that on the fly. But once he figured that out, look what we've seen from him. Steph Curry kind of had that learning curve in his favor before he got to the NBA, and we've seen that game continue to expand. He's become a better defender. He understands exactly how to run a basketball team and be a leader. That would not have happened if Bob McKillop did not have the foresight, his senior at Davidson, to say, you need to move here and not stay there. You'll be a better NBA player by being at that position.
We are quickly running out of time. Freddie Coleman joining us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. He is the host of the Freddie Coleman Show right here in our backyard. The Houston Rockets, they defeat the Clippers on Wednesday night. Harden lights it up and has that big fourth quarter. 16 of his 32 points were in the fourth. How do you see the series playing out?
The same way we saw Game 1 and Game 2, Alyssa.
It's
going to be back and forth. Mm-hmm. Crazy is a great word, because you have Blake Griffin in Game 1 with a triple-double, but Austin Rivers gives you 17, Matt Barnes gives you 20. In Game 2, Dwight Howard, Terrence Smith and James Harden were not having it. And I think James Harden looked at that and said, you know what, I know I'm going to make plays in the fourth quarter, but I have to continue to be aggressive attacking the basket. He did the same thing in game two that LeBron James did in game two versus Chicago for Cleveland. When you're on the court, if you're James Harden or you're LeBron James, you automatically have to assume that I have to play my game and everybody else is going to feed off of that. The minute that you lay back and wait for other people to get involved and get a groove, that's not helping your basketball team. And LeBron figured that out in game two, and James Harden did the same thing versus the Clippers in game two. He did what Blake Griffin did in game one. Blake Griffin did his thing, made the defense adjust to him, then he kicked it out and trusted that his teammates would knock down shots, and when he had to be aggressive going to the basket, he made plays. We saw the same thing from James Harden working the full effect in game two, helping out the Houston Rockets even this series.
Okay, Freddie Coleman has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Enjoy the game, the Rockets, the Clippers, later tonight. Thanks so much, Freddie. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Stay close.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Okay, welcome back to YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Hey, just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. The road to the Larry O'Brien Trophy, the 2015 NBA Championship, it continues in the conference semifinals. And we are glad to have back in the saddle from one of the writers with Slam Magazine. He is the owner and operates the five-star basketball camp. That is Lee Klein. It's good to have you back. Thank you, Lee.
Great to be back, and we're treated with some, I think, really fun NBA playoff series, and I think that it's still up for grabs who's going to be the team to beat for this June.
Well, I don't want to get off track, but what do you think is the most compelling series so far?
So far, for me, and it's got to be the Bulls-Cavaliers because of the different elements. One, there's the intrigue, what will happen next with Tom Thibodeau and the Bulls. And, of course, the Bulls have some impact free agents. So, you know, will the window close for them? Is this sort of the last chance with this crew? Is Derrick Rose back to being the Derrick Rose that won the MVP? And then for the Cavaliers, as we know, clearly no Kevin Love this series, but what will be the future with Kevin Love and LeBron? So this is sort of two teams with the win now mentality that are sort of battling it out. What's been a fun series.
Well, with the absence of Kevin Love, how much has that impacted the Cavaliers? I mean, obviously they took care of business in game two.
Well, it's put more pressure on LeBron James specifically because it's really forced LeBron out of the comfortable guard position into playing the small forward, moving Tristan Thompson more to four. So it's put LeBron a little bit out of his comfort zone or his most comfortable zone. And it's one less guy that can spread the floor and can score the basketball. So it's definitely a loss. But there, when you've got a great player like LeBron that, has the ability to put the entire team on his back and carry you to win a series, that's what you're hoping for. That's why he's, it's time for him to show why he's the best player in the NBA.
Who comes out of that series on top?
I think Cleveland will find a way. I think they'll find a way. Again, I'm back with LeBron being the best. Time for LeBron. They named the MVP with Steph Curry, deservingly so. Time for LeBron to show that, once again, don't forget, I'm still the top dog in this league.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Lee Klein. He's the contributor with Slam Magazine, and it's good to have him with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Now, the real reason we invited you on, we wanted to back up. Let's talk about the big news out of Oklahoma City last week, the hiring of the Thunder's new head coach in Billy Donovan. I can have our producer Joe pull up and pot up the audio from one of our archives because I think you nailed it. You kind of predicted that there'd be a substantial move from the college ranks. You were spot on, Lee.
Well, I was just able, the body language that Coach Donovan had, you know, during the year coaching Florida just did not look like it was fun anymore. It was just time to make a change. I think this is a great opportunity for him and the Thunder. Again, we talk about this window of opportunity. You know, Kevin Durant's a free agent in 2016. This is really, you know, this next season, it's win or bust for the Thunder, and management lost confidence that Scott Brooks was the guy to get it done. So I think they brought the best guy you could possibly in the market. I think Billy Donovan brings a freshness, an exuberance, and then it's going to be a question, you know, whether or not you get, you know, if you could get your best players to buy in and play hard every night, you got a chance in this league. And I think Billy Donovan will do that. And the Thunder will be a team to be reckoned with.
What is the biggest challenge and obstacle that he has to overcome crossing over now on the pro level?
Well, every college coach, I think, learns really quick that you don't have the hammer that you have in college. You know, college, you could say, look, you don't do what I need you to do, I'm not playing you. Well, in the NBA, if you try to do that with the players, you end up without a job because the players, they've got guaranteed contracts and they're bigger brands than the coach. In college, the coaches are the big brands. In the NBA, it's all about the players.
Hey, Lee Klein is with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the new hiring of Billy Donovan. You know, one of my takeaways from watching the press conference is, you know, Billy, he's a humble guy, but you got to love the fact, okay, a championship coach two times on the collegiate level, but he's got a great offensive mind. And you've got two of the elite premier players in the league in KD and Russell Westbrook. It's going to be exciting to watch how he gets them to mesh into his system.
They're fun. They're a fun team to watch just because of the firepower that they're able to have out there on the court. You know, we forget. I mean, Serge Ibaka, who, of course, was hurt for a large part of this last half of the season, he's a heck of a player as well. So there's a lot of weapons there. And I think Donovan is got some creativity and the ability. You know, some of the criticism was, you know, Thunder's not really running stuff under Scott Brooks. And I think that Donovan's really going to embrace this challenge. He's going to, I think, really wow Westbrook and Durant with different opportunities to get them easy baskets and best utilize the roster. And then, oh, by the way, you know, a couple of former Gators become free agents in I want to say 2016.
Yeah.
So that also might be an attractive place to land to play for your former college coach.
Okay, you've been listening to the voice of Lee Klein, contributor with Slam Magazine. Good to have him with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And you just have to wonder, you know, we can get into this next week, Lee, just Billy Donovan's departure to the NBA, how much this is going to perhaps hurt college basketball. We're willing to get your perspective and insight on that. Thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk next week. Thank you, Lee.
My pleasure.
That, of course, was Lee Klein, contributor with Slam Magazine. And right now, we want to take time to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup. What an incredible show we have had over the past 2 hours. Tom Pippins with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. Ray Flores, ESPN Chicago, AM 1000. Freddie Coleman, host of the Freddie Coleman Show on ESPN Radio. George Bodenheimer, former ESPN president and cable industry pioneer. And our very own Lee Steinberg, super agent from Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. And, of course, you can listen to him every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell wishing all of you a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. Remember, don't drink and drive. Blessings to you, and we'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the very best in sports, the Big E Sports Show.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint. Batteries. Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop back supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.